again, we're going to look together into the Word of God, and every time we look in the Word of God, there's something more to learn. I believe with all my heart that the Bible is a reflection of the infinite mind of God and will never, never, never reach the full awareness of everything that God has set forth in the Bible. But we are learning a lot, and particularly in our day when we are living so close to the end, and that which has been sealed for the time of the end now is open. God has taken the seals off, and that is why we are able to learn so many new things. Now, we've been going in the book of Jeremiah, and we came to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 18, Jeremiah 30, verse 18, where the Lord said, "Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner, and the palace shall be inhabited," is the way it should be translated, "after the law thereof." This is a more proper translation. And after the law thereof is a very, very pointed reference to the fact that God's law book, the Bible, has something to say about this, about building the temple again. And remember, we spent a couple of studies looking at the fact that God typified the building of, or the sending forth of the congregation or the gospel into all the world, the building of the kingdom of God throughout the church age was typified by the tabernacle that was in Shiloh for a little over 300 years, and then it was destroyed, and then God gave a second illustration, a beautiful temple of Solomon that existed for about 300 years, then it was destroyed. And we find that in the New Testament, remember, we looked at 1 Corinthians 3, for example, where the Bible describes the fact that the body of believers throughout the church age were called the temple of God, and we are building into that temple as gold, silver, and precious stones if we're true believers, or as wood, hay, stubble if we are chaff, if we are tares, if we are those who appear to be saved but actually have not been saved. And then remember, we looked at Matthew 24 and Mark 13, where God indicated that the time would come at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the beginning of the Day of Judgment, they are simultaneous, when the temple would be destroyed and there would be not one stone left upon another. But here we find in Jeremiah 30, God is talking about, but the temple is still going to be rebuilt. And remember, we looked at Amos, again, just to get the setting here as we develop this. In Amos chapter 9, we read that in verse 11, in that day, this is Amos 9, verse 11, in that day, and he's talking about our day, that day of great tribulation, that day when God's judgment has come as beginning on the whole world and especially upon the local congregations. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. And that is what is being talked about here in Jeremiah 30. In verse 18, the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall be inhabited after the law thereof. And remember, we looked at Psalm 48, which was a very unique and different kind of a psalm that we cannot understand at all unless we would recognize the timeline of history as God has given it to us and recognize that it's talking there also in Psalm 48. About the temple that is now being rebuilt. And it was typified by the tabernacle in Shiloh. It was typified by the temple in Jerusalem. Then when we looked at the temple in Jerusalem, we found that it was a magnificent building and that finally it was completed. And then we read in 1 Kings chapter 7, the Bible has a whole lot to say about the dedication of this temple. In fact, God uses several chapters, both in 1 Kings and also in 2 Chronicles, to describe not only the construction of that beautiful temple, but also to describe the dedication of that temple. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, in verse 1, in the beginning of the dedication, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. As soon as we saw the term seventh month, we have learned in our studies, again from perusing the book of Jeremiah very, very carefully, we have found that the seventh month had to do, it brought us back into verses earlier in the Old Testament that indicate the seventh month is also spoken of as the end of the year. And it's the end of time that God has in view. And that is when the temple is being dedicated. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, in verse 65, and at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. Incidentally, from the entering in of Hamath to the river of Egypt, that is a huge area of space. The city of Hamath was just a little bit south of the headwaters of the Euphrates River, and it was about, at least 100 miles north of Tyre and Sidon, way up to the north. And the river of Egypt is the Nile River. And so this is the land of Israel in its greatest expanse. It gets closest to what we read, or it's very close to what we read in Genesis 15, verse 18. It ties back into this to some degree, where we read in Genesis 15, verse 18, in the same day Jehovah made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, same language, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And the headwaters of the river Euphrates is just a little bit north of the city of Hamath, which must have had some kind of a pass that went down into the land of Palestine. And so it's language to indicate this is something that is as big as anything that the Bible describes. When he talks about, I will give you the whole land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates, it's the language of the greatest expanse of the kingdom of God. And of course, both Egypt and Euphrates identify with the whole world. And so it is talking here, as it's talking about the dedication of the temple, that it is a worldwide application of some kind, a worldwide application. And then we read in verse 65 of 1 Kings 8, and they kept this feast 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. And on the eighth day, he sent the people away. And they blessed the king and went into their tents, joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. This is talking about the end of the whole business of bringing the gospel. The temple has been completed, and the last day we're right at the end. And on the eighth day, and we know the eighth day has to do with the eighth day of Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to see that developed in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, which we'll look at right now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And incidentally, before we look at that, I want to make a couple of comments here. First of all, we're talking about in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 5, as we're introducing ourselves to what was going through this final dedication feast. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of Jehovah was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. And at that time they also brought the ark in. And it was the final culmination, the ark representing Christ. He now is holding full sway in the temple of God. Verse 3, of 2 Chronicles 5, wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast that was in the seventh month. What was the great feast? The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, that we keep looking at a little bit, saying, yes, that has to identify with the very end of time. And indeed it does. Then in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 8, also the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath into the river of Egypt, which we already spoke of. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Now we know why it was 7 and 7. There was first of all a dedication of the altar itself, and that followed by the Feast of Tabernacles, which continued for 7 days. But then in verse 10, we read the most puzzling verse imaginable. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, or happy in heart, for the goodness that Jehovah had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Now bear in mind that the Feast of Tabernacles very clearly began on the 15th day of the 7th month. Therefore, the 8th day was the 22nd day of the 7th month. If we go 8 days from 15, 15 is the first day, 16 the second, 17 the third, 18 the fourth, 19 the fifth, the 20th was the sixth, 21st was the seventh, and the 22nd was the 8th day. And that's why it says in 1 Kings chapter 8, in verse 66, on the 8th day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went into their tents joyful and glad of heart. Yet here in 2 Chronicles 7, God says, use identical language, but he says it's the 23rd day. The 8th day was the 22nd day. This is the 23rd day. So you can't trust the Bible, can you? In other words, someone made a mistake. No, nobody made a mistake. God is very carefully giving us more information. Actually, if we look at this in its historical setting, the 8th day was a Sabbath day, and they would not have traveled. And yet they were dismissed on the end of the 8th day, and then actually on the next day, everybody packed their tents and packed their belongings and began to stream back into their homes. This was a big deal that encompassed all of Israel, this dedication of the temple. But God calls, by the language used here, we don't have to try to understand how they did it. We have to understand, what is God teaching us by all of this? And God is very clearly teaching that the end of the Feast of Tabernacles is a 2-day affair. It's the 22nd day and it's the 23rd day. It is both days. It's not a 1-day affair. Now, it just happens to be that, you know, God has insisted that to every purpose there is time and the law. He says that in several places in the Bible. There is time and the law. And again, in our day, when God has taken the seals off the book, we have learned a whole lot about time. And as we work on the time angle more and more persistently and accurately, and this is the role of a Bible teacher, that we should be trying to be as accurate as in everything that we teach, so that we're not fuzzy. And a lot of times when we teach, first of all, we're a little bit fuzzy, and then gradually, as we fine-tune and find more verses and ponder it and pray for wisdom, gradually it begins to sort itself out. Now, for example, for years I have taught that the Passover feast in A.D. 33 occurred on March 31. And there was a lot of evidence to show that. And then based on that you could work to the earlier years as well as the latter years, the latter events. And then we came to the time when the end of the 2300 days occurred, that that would be on September 6th, 1994. And we could do that quite accurately because everything is determined by the way God has set up the timekeepers in the universe, the sun and the moon and the stars. But then after really carefully working, even more carefully, I found that indeed it was not March 31, it was April 1. It was a day later, one day later. Now you say, well, one day is not very big. Yeah, no, it isn't. But it still indicates the exquisite accuracy of the Bible. As a matter of fact, because it ended up as April 1, it meant that whereas before, when we had worked out that the beginning of the church age began on May 21, and then that it ended finally on May 21 of 1988, which was the day before Pentecost. And we are certain that Pentecost in AD 1988 was on the 22nd, because that is a Sunday. Pentecost has to fall on a Sunday, according to the biblical rules. And so I said that was exactly 1,955 years to a day. Yeah, it was to a day, missing one day. Because when you go from May 21 in AD 33 to the day before Pentecost, May 21 in 1988, it is actually 1,955 years plus one day. It's the same date on the calendar, but in actuality, it's plus one day. Now, the fact is that after correcting this, we found that the date of the Pentecost back in AD 33 was not May 21, it was May 22. Exactly the same time on the calendar as it was in 1988. And since the end of the church age would have had to have ended the day before Pentecost, it would have ended on May 21. And from May 22 in AD 33 to May 21 in AD 1988 is exactly to the very day. Now we don't have to fudge even a tiny bit, and we should never fudge on purpose. But again, like I say, you first do the kind of the bigger story and then you fine-tune. But as it's fine-tuned, it means that the 1,955 years, which remember is a very key number, it's 17 times 23 times 5, 17, the number of heaven, 23, the number of judgment, 5, the number of both judgment and heaven. It's exactly an exact period of time, right to the very day, when we go through the church age. But that also put the 2300 days a day later to September 7th. And whereas before, the best that I could see was that there were 2,300 days inclusively, that is counting May 21 and also counting September 6th is where it seemed to fall. That turned out to be exactly 2,300 days, and September 6th looked like the first day of the seventh month, which is a Jubilee feast day. It's the first day of the seventh month. But now that we made a correction back there in AD 33, we find that it ends on September 7th. And when we go 2,300 days from May 21, and I know all of this is just going over your heads, but I'm saying it just so that those who are really want to check it out, they can. But I'm just want you to see that this is not done casually. This is all done very, very carefully. That from May 21 in AD 1988 until September 7th to the very day is exactly 2,300 days.